Rav quotes the Braisa from Megillas Tainis that the Nes Chanukah, the story of the Nes Chanukah began with the fact that the Yevanim Kimu Kol HaShmanim Shebehecho, they caused all the Shemen and the Beis HaMikdash to be Tomei, and the Meile couldn't be used for Hadlokas HaMenorah. There was only Pach Shemen, was only enough to light for one night, and the Nes occurred in a mid for many years. So Achreinim are bothered with Akasha. There is a Mishnah that tells us, Mishnah in Adias, Mishnah in Avodah Zorah discussed, Mashke, it's a big sugi at the end of the first parak in Sochim, the Mashke Beit Matbachaya, the Mashkim in the Beis HaMikdosh, Dochan, Ator. I think, hey, Yosef Ben Yezer said over three different dinim. Yosef Ben Yezer was a Tana who lived in the days of the Rabbi Sheni. And one of the dinim that he said was that the Mashkim in the Beis HaMikdosh are Tohar. So there's a Machlokes. Rav Shmuel had to understand the din in the Mishnah. So Rav said, Tohar Lagamre. The Raman passed it like Rav. Usually when there's a Machlokes, Rav Shmuel, but we pass it like Rav in Issa Beheta, and we pass it like Shmuel in Dini Mamas. The Mashor says, based on the Gemara in the end of Bob Mitzia and Daf Pei Hei, that Rav succeeded in getting Smicha, and Shmuel never got any Smicha. Because of the fact that Rav got Smicha, that's why we pass like Rav in Issa Beheta. I don't know exactly why that should be told as ever that. That's how the Mashor suggests. So we pass like Rav, who says, Tohar Lagamre, the Mashke and the Beis HaMikdosh are simply not in Kabbal Tumah. And Shmuel disagrees. No, Dochon means that it's Tohar Melitami Acherim. Because Mashke Melitami Acherim is only Midirabbanon, so in the Beis HaMikdash they never introduced this Chum and Midirabbanon. But the Mashke on the Kabbal Tumah, that's a Dimin Aturis. How can they change a Dimin Midiraisa? So the Raman Paskin is like Rav, that the Mashke and the Beis HaMikdash is simply not in the Kabbal Tumah at all, period. So it's not the Kabbal Tumah, so why in the world did the Rebbeinu Shlomo make a miracle? What do you mean, Timu Kol HaShmanim? The whole thing is a fake. Shemen in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishnah says, is Tohar. So why did the Rebbeinu Shlomo make a miracle? It's absolutely unnecessary to do such a miracle. So there was a great Goyen who lived in Lemberg in the 1850s. He wrote the Shas Shiva's Beis Yitzchok. His name was Rabbi Yitzchok Shmelkish. Galatiana Goyen. He has a whole essay in his Shalos Tshuvos on this kasha. So he says, hey, Yosef ben Yoezer, the Mishnah says Yosef ben Yoezer lived after the Chashmonon. He lived later. He was the one who passed like that, Mashke Beis Matbachaya, the Mashkim and the Beis HaMikdosh, Atohar, Dochon, Namikabutul. But before the days of Yosef ben Yoezer, they mistakenly paskened otherwise. They paskened that the Mashkin and the Beis HaMikdash are Mekabel Tumah. So because the accepted psak at the Kufa of the Chashmonaim was that the Mashkin and the Beis HaMikdash are Mekabel Tumah, so the Rebbeinu Shalom had to make a miracle of Fishi Tosel. But they were wrong. What do you mean? Why did Rebbeinu Shalom make a miracle if they were wrong? So he said, you can't say wrong. We have a klal in the Gemara that doesn't always apply, sometimes applies. We sometimes say, Eilu Yeilu Divya Lekim Chaim. The Gemara says in the end of the first parak in Erevin on Daf Yud Gimel and Beis regarding the many disputes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that most of the time we paskan like the Beis Hillel. The Mishnah in the first parak in Shabbos says that there was one occasion that Beis Shammai outvoted Beis Hillel on 18 issues. So the Yud Ches Gzeris, the Yud Ches Dovar was in one sweeping psak that they paskan like Beis Shammai in 18 cases. And Tosfos writes in the beginning of Sukkah and Daf Gimel and Aleph. There's a quote from the Siddur of Amram going that there are an additional six cases scattered about through Shas, again, that we pass on like the Beis Shammai. Six cases in addition to the 18 is 24. So 24 cases we pass on like Beis Shammai, and everything else we pass on like Beis Hillel. So whenever there's a machlokes Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and we know having paskin, that means that he's right, and they're wrong. So the Gemara says, no, it's not that they're wrong. Eilu v'eilu d'vir v'kim chayim. We spend time. When you learn Gemara Yevamis, there's a Sugi Yevamis, Daf Lamed Aleph, about Beis Shammai's opinion about Maimer. When a man dies leaving no children, and his wife has to have either Chalitza or Yibum, so before she has the Yibum, the Yavam is supposed to give, the surviving brother is supposed to give Kesef Kiddushin. Say, that's called Maimer. So this machloek is Bisham and Bisil, but the Maimer is within the Raisa of the Rabban. So we pass like Bisil, Maimer doesn't exist on the level of the Raisa. It accomplishes, it's not needed, it doesn't accomplish anything, the whole thing is an invention of the Rabban. The Shammai say no, that Maimer plays a role on the level of their Raisa. So we don't pass like the Shammai. Nonetheless, in the yeshivas, we spend a lot of time learning the opinion of the Shammai. So why do you waste time? It's the bittul Torah. If the Shammai is wrong, it should be bittul Torah. So the Gemara says no. When we spend time to understand the Shammai's opinion, that is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So not only is it a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, we have even lahalacha that it's relevant halacha lamaisa. So here, this is how the Beis Yitzchak says there was a machlokes bizman bayisheni, where the mashke bein matbachaya docha. When they came to the generation that Yosef ben Yezer lived, so he said his tradition is, and now it's nipsak lahalacha like that. Mashke in the Beis Hamikdash not mekabel tumah period, but until that time it was back and forth disputed. So at the tkufa, at the historical period of the Hashmonaim, the Psak HaMekubal was that the Mashkim to Beis HaMikdash HaMekabal Tumah. So since that was the Psak HaMekubal, it's not that it's wrong, it's not that it's a toys. Eilu Liyeda Divir Likim Chayim. So that's why Kodesh Boch had to make a miracle to satisfy that Shita that they were following at that time. It's such a fascinating Gemara, Menachos also. Gemara says when Moshe Rabbeinu was up on top of Har Sinai, and Kodesh Boch, that's how the Gemara describes the Kodesh Baruch Hu wrote the whole Sefer Torah, and he wanted to give him the Sefer Torah. The Ramban HaChumash usually assumes that the Baruch Hu dictated the Chumash to Moshe Rabbeinu over the course of the 40 years in the Midbar. Kodesh Baruch Hu dictated word for word the whole letter. But this Gemara in Menachos describes it a little differently, as if Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, or he was up in heaven, wherever he was there. The Gemara Sukkah discussed what do you mean he was up in heaven, but he was on top of Har Sinai. So which is it? Is it the same thing? The Gemara says his feet were above the ground, but he was lamata me'asor tvachim. So a strange Gemara. So the Gemara Menachos says Moshe Rabbeinu was up there on Har Sinai in the heaven, and the Baruch Shalom wrote the whole Torah, and he's about to give it to Moshe Rabbeinu, so he's waiting. So Baruch Shalom says, wait a minute, I have to put in tagim. Baruch Shalom starts putting in tagim. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, what do you need the chachkala for? It's good the way it says, I don't need the talent. So the Baruch Shalom tells him, no, there's going to be a big Hamachachim is going to come in many generations. His name is going to be Rabbi Akiva. He's going to darshan al kol kos v'kotz tu v'tinim shav alacha. Rabbi Akiva is going to have drushes on all of the tagging. He's going to come up with new dig. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to wait till the Baruch Shalom finished putting in all the tagging. It took a while. And then he took the turn and brought it down. So you would have thought the Baruch Shalom held Moshe Rabbeinu waiting because of the tagim. You would have thought that we passed him like this dinim, Rabbi Akiva, with the tagim. The Gemara doesn't quote one drosha from Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says he garshin al kol kotz for kotz on every tag. Tila tilim shal alochas, tons of alochas. We have nothing mentioned in the Gemara. We absolutely don't pass him like that concept. We don't darshan anything from the tagim. So why did the Baruch Shalom waste this time? Why did he keep Moshe Rabbeinu waiting? The answer is they will be able to do the kimchai. That's one lahalacha learning, which we absolutely don't accept lahalacha. But the Rebbeinu Shalom put in the tagim because he wants that such a shita should exist. So he also, the Rebbeinu Shalom made a miracle of Nes Chanukah because there was a shita, the Mashkan Beit Mat Bachaya Atome, that it is Mekabel Tumah, and therefore you cannot use Shem and Tomei for Hablaka Samanera. And the truth of the matter is that it's not so. The whole din is Mamish, the whole din doesn't exist. The way we pass the Halacha, the whole din doesn't exist. Nonetheless, the Rebbeinu Shalom made the miracle because of the fact that they held like that. So this is a very intriguing idea. Eilu v'yeilu divin l'kim chayim. How is that possible? What does that mean? That the opinion of Hisham and the opinion of Sil, they're both correct. How do you understand that? So there is a ritva on that gemara at the end of the first parak in Erevin, where the ritva quotes a traditional pshat that he heard from his rabbeim. And today, that's the going pshat. The Sefer HaChinuch has a different suggestion, but this, the way the Ritva said, this is how the Maharsha writes in the Chidushi Agoda, and this is how the Maharam Niprag writes also in the Biurim and Agodas. Say like this Ritva. Moshe Rabbeinu, he gives you a mashal. When Moshe Rabbeinu is on top of Harsina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching him the laws of tzitzis. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked the Rebbeinu Shalom, what's the din in this case? He says, puzzle. What's the din in that case? He says, the tzitzis is kosher. What's the din in Hilchos Shabbos? He says, in that case, also, this case, mutter. Then Moshe Rabbeinu, what about in this case? So Rabbi Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, that's a great area of halacha. It has elements of isa, elements of heta, elements of psul, elements of hechsher, elements of chiyuv, elements of ptur, whatever area in halacha it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he leaves it up to the hachra of the chachmei hador shebechol dor v'dor based on their perception of kol ha-Torah kula. You can have different people looking at the exact same thing. Like I'm standing here in a room, there's a shtender, and there's a loudspeaker, and there's a group of people with chairs, and a ceiling with lights, pictures, and windows, and so on. So I'm standing over here, I see everything, I have 20/20 vision with the glasses. I see everything from one perception. Someone sitting in the back sees everything with a different perception. And someone looking in from the door, or someone looking from the door, they has a third different perception. All the perceptions are correct. Everybody's looking at the exact same thing. See, sometimes when we have a shayla in our generation, what the din is, they get five different answers. Four of them are amaratzim. They don't know what in the world they're talking about. One is a reform rabbi, a conservative rabbi, a reconstructionist rabbi, lady rabbi, an orthodox rabbi who never passed his bechinas mismicha. And then you have Rabbi Yashiv. He says what it says in Shulchan Aruch. One person knows the right answer. The other four don't know what they're talking about. Sometimes you have all five don't know what they're talking about. No one knows what they're talking about. We're talking about everybody has 20/20 vision. Everybody sees kolot Torah kula. They're all looking at the exact same thing, but each one looks from a different perception. All the perceptions are correct. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he told the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu HaSinai, he said, "This is black. This is us, and this is white. This is mutter. This is chiyuv. This is ptur. This is pasul. This is kosher." And then he said, when Moshe Rabbeinu is asking, "What's the din in this case?" And Baruch Hashem told him, "That's a great area of halacha. Has mixed in, has a blend, elements of isa, elements of het, elements of chiyuv, elements of ptur, and I leave it up to the discretion of the chachmei haTorah shebechol devador to determine, based on their perception, based on their picture of kol haTorah kula." So that's taka elu elu. They really can try. They're both correct. You can't say that one is right and one is wrong. From your perception, you're right. From his perception, he is right. They're both right. This concept of Eilu V'Yedah Divinu Kimchayim is not only relevant with respect to the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, that when we spend a lot of time in the yeshivas to learn that daf and yivam is that Talmud Aleph with the Bisham Shita on the Maimer. The Maimer is a Konam in our Torah, even though we absolutely don't pass them like that. Halacha Maisa, we don't pass them like Bisham, right? But when you study Bisham Shita, it's a Kima mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Let's say, when I was growing up, there was a Shamas in the shul in the Bronx. I lived in the Bronx for a period of time. My family lived in Philadelphia, and there was no yeshiva for me, so they sent me to New York to stay by my grandparents to go to yeshiva town in the Bronx. So I remember there was a shamas in one of the shuls in the Bronx. He used to write svarim. He didn't know what in the world he was talking about. And Amoris, he made mistakes. I remember one of his svarim he writes, I'm a gears of the Yankees on the mistakes, one of the, on the jokes. His svarim are joke books. So I remember one of the svarim he writes, he doesn't understand the Russian Kurdish, of course, in Rabbinic to Hebrew. He doesn't understand what the Rabbanim are hacking at Chinik about making tea on Shabbos, bishul on the tea bag. Who eats tea bags? Bishul is on food. Nobody eats the tea bag. No, there's no issue of bishul. The Gemara talks about bishul on tar. The Gemara talks about bishul on wooden pegs. The Gemara talks about bishul on kalin. You see the fairish. There's a din of bishul on food, a bishul on beverages, and a bishul on non-food items also. The fairish in the Gemara. It could be that he's right, that there's no din of bishul on tea bags, but not for the reason that he gave. It could be for other reasons. But the fairish Gemara, there is a din of bishul on non-food items as well. And this whole sefer is like that. One simon after the other, everything is all wrong. So is there a mitzvah of Talmud Torah? If I know in advance, he told me in advance that this is a joke book, everything it says here is not reliable. So that's not a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. If you know everything is inaccurate, so it's bittul's man, it's bittul Torah. So why did we ever spend time learning Beishama Shita? We know in advance we don't pass like that. So the answer is no, Beishama is Eilu V'Yedah Divinu Kimchayim. We're not about to pass like Beishama. Halacha is always be passing like Beishama. Because they were in the majority of Haram Rahatas. But Beishama Shita still constitutes a Hefta Shalter. If you learn Beishama Shita, it's a Kima Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. So the Gemara says in Brachas, Adaf Lamed Vav in Brachas, many of you may have learned it. Brachas is a nice mesikta to learn. Nice and easy, you can learn on your own. So Gia Halacha L'maisa. So the Gemara Brachas has a din. There's a din of Orla V'chutz L'Oretz. There's a din Chumash in Parashas Kedoshim, Kisavoy Al Ha'Oretz. When the Jewish people come to Eretz Yisrael, and the Taikum call Eitz Michael, and they plant fruit-bearing trees, Pears that grow the first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat. Also, bachi lost mana. May well be that nothing will grow the first 3 years. That's often the case. Okay, nothing grows, no problem. But if pears do grow in the first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat them. That's a din of orla. So the Chumash only talks about orla berets and sof. He said, "Voy al haaretz." What about orla b'chutz laaretz? We should have really said that this is an agricultural mitzvah. And all the chavis karko, all the mitzvahs sakuris baretz, only apply in Eretz Yisrael. They don't apply in chutz laaretz. So the Mishnah Kiddushin, the end of the first parak in Kiddushin, makes such a statement. Kol mitzvahs sakuris baretz, all the agricultural mitzvahs, only apply in Eretz Yisrael. They don't apply in chutz laaretz. Except, and the Mishnah gives you a few exceptions, two or three exceptions. It says, all the chutz laaretz is no hint. So the Gemara has a machloikis amarayim. What is the nature of that din? So one opinion is that it's only midirabban. Minatayre the Chumash reads clearly. Or there's only no generic Yisrael. Rashi and Brachis sounds like he passed like that opinion. But all the chutzlars is only midirabban. And the accepted opinion is not like that Rashi, like the other opinion in Kiddushin, that all the chutzlars is halacha l'moshe misinah. Torah Shabbat Peh has a tradition, an oral tradition from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, and even though the Chumash only talks about Orla Meretz Yisrael, Orla B'chutz Laaretz is also Asa Bachila, Asa Bahamot. So the Gemara asked Akasha, there's a Mishnah in Orla that says that if you have a Suffolk Orla Meretz Yisrael, you go to the store and they're selling fruits and you don't know whether these fruits grew within the first 3 years or not. That's why you need Hashgacha on oranges in Eretz Yisrael. In America, you don't need hashgacha on oranges. What could it be? It can't be tevel. There's no chumas and mices in America. What can it be? Kloy hakera. If you have a vine growing next to an orange tree, that's not kloy hakera. If you have two trees growing one next to the other, they can be growing right next to each other. There's no din of kloy. Kloy is by vegetables. You can't grow near each other. Kloy hakera is also by nobody yet, but oranges can't become kloy hakera. So the only thing it could be is it may be orlo. Maybe in America, if you buy oranges, maybe these oranges grew from a tree that was within the first 3 years. So it's a suffix. You don't know whether this orange tree is orla or not orla. The Mishnah says suffix orla b'chutz laaretz is muta. It's suffix orla b'eretz Yisrael is asa. So if you go to the store, the store has to have some supervision, has to have some ashrach. If he's buying from a farm, then we know that the farmers are not going to give us orla. So that's why in Eretz Yisrael you need hashgacha on the oranges to make sure that it's not orla. It shouldn't be suffik orla, and it shouldn't be teva. It should be gemaisat. So the Gemara is bothered with the kasha. Bishleim, if you hold that orla b'chutz laaretz on the rabbanon, so he understands suffik orla b'chutz laaretz is mutter. That's the din of speka the rabbanon l'kula. But if you hold the way it's generally assumed today, that orla b'chutz laaretz halacha l'moshe misinai. So Allah Moshe Misina is a dimmed deraisa. It wasn't invented by the rabbis. The Shvacha told it to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. So the din should be Safik deraisa v'chumer. So why does the Mishnah say Safik Allah b'chutz laaretz is mutter? So the Gemara answers in Kiddushin, Kach nam ha'alach. That's what Allah Moshe Misina says. Even though Allah b'chutz laaretz is deraisa, it's Allah Moshe Misinai. Sfeik a mutter, vadoa asa. Vadai arla is asa, and Safik arla is mutter. Exactly what does that sentence mean? So the Rambam seems to understand that line in the Gemara means that Safik Halacha L'Moshe Misina is always Lekula. Every Safik Halacha L'Moshe Misina is Lekula. And the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvahs, and he says, no, the Gemara didn't say, let's say a tefillin. A lot of things in tefillin are Halacha L'Moshe Misina. Tefillin have to be black, and tefillin have to be square, and other halachas. So let's say you have a Safik in Hilchas Tefillin, an issue of Halacha L'Moshe Misina. So the Rambam might say, maybe yeah, maybe no, it's a little questionable details, but the Rambam holds every Safik Halacha L'Moshe Misina is Lahakim. The Rambam says, Ma'pitam, the Gemara never said. The Gemara said, this is the package deal of Arla B'chutz Laaretz. Kaf Ne'er Mahalacha is one package deal. Vaday Arla B'chutz Laaretz is Aser. The Safik Arla B'chutz Laaretz is Mutar. The Gemara never said every Safik Halacha L'Moshe Misina is Lekula. I'll call upon him, that's what the Gemara says. That the Safik Arla B'chutz Laaretz is mutter. Even though we hold that it's halacha l'moshe misina, we say sfeika l'hokeh. So the Gemara has a klal in brachas on daf lamed vav. Not only if it's a suffix in mitzias, you're not sure. I have oranges. I don't know whether these oranges grew in a pardes, whether they grew on trees that are within the first 3 years or after the first 3 years. Within the first 3 years is called the yalva, and after the first 3 years is called the zikena. After 3 years old, you're ancient already. It's called the Zkena, no more orla. Within the first 3 years, the tree is called a yalda. So that's when the prohibition of Arba applies. So the Gemara says, not only if you have a Suffolk in Metzius, whether this tree is within 3 years or after 3 years, what if you know all the facts, but it's a Suffolk in Din? Take for example, there is a, the Gemara has there, Machlokes HaTanaim, where the berries that grow on a bush are subject to the Din of Arba. Is a bush Din of Kitri, and trees have a din of orla, or is a bush din of a vegetable? What bracha do you say on berries that grow on a bush? Do you say hadama? Or you say no, bar pihetz, a bush is considered a tree. So that's shaila, whether you say bar pihetz or bar pihadama on vegetables, that's on the level of the rabbana. But the root of that machlokes hatanaim is on the level of the rice, is the berries that grow on the tree, is a din of berries that grow on a bush, is a din of a tree, and it's subject to the din of orla. Or is it the dino not dino kitri, so it's like a vegetable, but it's not subject. There's no dino varla on vegetables, only a dino varla on trees. And the Taitim call it Michael. So the Gemara says, we usually have a rule, whenever there's a machloikes satanaim in Hilchas Orlo, kohamekel ba'orah, it's halacha kamaisa b'chutzlo. Whenever there's a machloikes satanaim regarding Orlo, even though in Eretz Yisrael we would follow the more strict opinion, we would be machmer, the Suffolk the Raisa Lechumra, or that the Raiv of the Tanaim hold Lechumra. But when it comes to Chutz Laretz, as long as there's a minority opinion that's legitimate, so that's called the Suffolk Orla B'Chutz Laretz. Not only a Suffolk in Metzius, even a Suffolk in Din, and even a Suffolk where it's not a 50-50 Suffolk. 95% of the Pasuk say Lechumra, 5% of the Pasuk say Lechumra. So even though you have Acharab Lechumra, but it's considered a Suffolk Koldo. Now the Suffolk called to a slight bit of a Suffolk. You also say Suffolk Garla B'chutz Loretz is Lahaka. So the Gemara says there in Brachas Daflam Rabbah, what about this Machlek? This happens to be a Machlek in Tishan and Jisilo, whether a bush is in a tree, or the berries that grow in a bush is in a vegetable. So Bishamai are the ones who are Mako. Bishamai hold that a bush is not in a tree. And you say Barakri Hadoma on the berries, and it's not subject to the Dina world. And we pass like Bishilo. That whatever grows on the bush is considered perisayulam. The bush is considered a tree. So the Gemara says, true in Eretz Yisrael, we pass it like this Hillel, that the laws of Orla apply to the berries that grow on the bush. And maybe in Chutz Laretz, we should say, Suffolk Orla b'Chutz Laretz should be in the Hakel. But I'll make a Baretz, Halacha Gemosa b'Chutz Laretz. It should be considered a Suffolk Kolnu. The fact that Beishamai, we pass it like this Hillel because they were in the majority. But Beishamai, let's say, were 20% of the Rabban, the silver, 80% of the Rabban. So 20% of the Rabbanim say, Lahokim, but this is not our law. So that should count as a Suffolk called the who? You should say it's called Suffolk Ala B'chutz Laretz, Lahokim. So the Gemara says wrong. The Gemara makes a statement, Beishamai, B'makam Beisilu, ain't a Mishnah. We never Paschal like Beishamai. There are 24 cases that we do Paschal like Beishamai. But when we don't Paschal like Beishamai, you can't even rely on their opinion that it should be considered a Suffolk Kolduhu. So it's interesting. The original statement in the Gemara that Eilu V'Eilu V'Eilu L'Kim Chaim appears in the Gemara in Erevin, Adaf Yudgim on Beis, in connection with the many disputes between Beishamai and Bishilo. So Beishamai and Bishilo themselves, we don't go all the way in Eilu V'Eilu. We only say Eilu V'Eilu V'Eilu L'Kim Chaim, that if we learn the opinion of Beishamai that we don't accept, it constitutes a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. We don't say that we consider their sheet as a Suffolk Kolduhu. When it comes to other Machlokes HaTanaim, other Machlokes HaMaroim, there the Klal of Eilu V'Eilu even goes further. Not only do we say that when you study the minority opinion that's not accepted L'Aloche, it's a Chetzah Shal Torah and it constitutes a Kima Mitzvah Talmud Torah, we say even more than that, that it's considered, even though the minority opinion was outvoted, we consider it a Suffolk Kolduhu, we would be Mekel Ba'orla B'chutz Laretz. We consider the minority opinion of other machlokes in more than we consider Beishamai B'makom Bishilo. Why should that be so? This is a chapela. So the Achrayim explain why. Because Beishamai Bishilo sat together, they argued it out, and the Beishamai were outvoted. Or in 24 cases, the Bishilo were outvoted. So if the Chachamim sat together, of the dominion, and they outvoted Beishamai, or in 24 cases, Beishamai outvoted Bishilo, so that's it. They were outvoted, so then we can't even rely, we don't rely on the Shita Sayyam. We only say Eilu V'Eilu to the extent that learning their Shita, learning the minority opinion, constitutes a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. We don't say that it constitutes a Suffolk Kolduhu. They were together and they were outvoted. But if you have any other machlokes, Tanoim or Amoraim, And you have the majority of pigim is followed, but they were never omdu l'minyan. They weren't together, and they weren't outvoted. Their miut was not outvoted. Then we say elu v'elu to even a greater extent. We say elu v'elu that with respect to arla b'chutzlarts, that's considered safek poldehu, and it's enough to be mekala. The Gemara has another din like that, where we consider the minority opinion that is not accepted, we consider as if it accomplishes that it's called the safek poldehu, namely, with respect to avelus. The Gemara has a klal, kol makam shatamotzi rabbi machmirim. If you have a machlokes tanoim, let's say, and the majority of the tanoim are machmir. So acharav mahatnas, you have to follow the majority opinion, even if you're dealing with the din derabbanan. That's not called safek derabbanan lekula. If you have a machlokes, 80% of the rabbanim say mechum, 20% say lekula, and an issue of the rabbanim. So it's not a safek derabbanan. Acharav mahatnas, you follow the 80%. So the Gemara says that's only in kolatar kula with respect to all other dinim, dinim deraisa, dinim derabbanan. When it comes to avelus, there we say halacha k'tiba mekel ba'avol. We follow the minority opinion. So the Ramban in the Sefer Torah Sa'adam, Ramban was a doctor by profession, and he wrote a Sefer Torah Sa'adam, a beautiful Sefer, about what are the dinim that are important to know when a baby is born, about delivering babies on Shabbos, about delivering babies on the weekdays, delivering babies for non-Jewish women, all the dinim about delivering babies. Then he talks about when the baby grows up and he gets sick, about taking medications, kosher medications, non-kosher medications, taking medication on Shabbos, eating on Yom Kippur, when someone is chole. Then he talks about when a person gets sick, when he dies, about ripping kriya, about observing avelus. Then once he talks about avelus, he talks about the laws of Tisha B'av, agav the laws of avelus. That's about birth, sickness, death, mourning, all these things. That's called Tarasad, the like of me. So the Ramban, in the Torah Sodom, quotes a Tosfos from Erevin, which is printed in our Gemaras. We have the Tosfos that he quotes, exactly verbatim. Tosfos quotes in Erevin the sheet of Shiras HaGaonim. Ashkenazim, Paskin, like the Baalei HaTosfos, that all of Avelus is only Midei Rabbanan. Avelus Yom Rishon, and Shiva, and Shloshim, Yud Beis Chodesh, everything was only Midei Rabbanan. But the opinion of the Gaonim, which the Sfardim follow, is that Avelus Yom Rishon is the right. So the first day of Shiva, the Mechaber Paskin, like the Divrei HaGaonim, is the Divrei right. So Tosfos quotes from the Gaonim that you shouldn't make a mistake, you shouldn't think that Halachat Divrei HaMekel Ba'ovel only applies if you're talking about Dinim Derabbanan. So you start off with a din, sofik the rabbanu lekula, so not only a 50-50 sofik, if it's a milchus avelus, even if it's 95% lahachmer, 95% of the rabbanu say lahachmer, 5% say lahakel, so you still say halacha the rabbanu mekel ba'avol. The Tosfos says, no, it doesn't have to start off that it's a din the rabbanu, the sofik the rabbanu lekula, and we even go more than that, sofik ha-shokel, even an avelus yam rishon, that you're dealing with a din deraisa, you still say halacha the rabbanu mekel ba'avol. So the Ramban quotes this Tosfos B'Shem HaGaonim, which is printed in our Gemaras, and he has to find a makar and a pasuk. So he gives you a makar, a source for that din. That's a case where he says Sofik Deraisa Lekulam, just like we said, Ola B'Chutzlarts is Halacha Moshe Misinai. It's a din Deraisa, the Kach Nemar Halacha. Sofik Ola B'Chutzlarts is Muta. So the same is true regarding Avelus. Even if there would be aspects of Avelus, Avelus and Rishon, which according to the opinion of the Gaonim is Deraisa, and Mechaber Paskins like that, it's Sfardim. Nonetheless, you still say, Halacha Gedena Mekabon. So what kind of a din is that? So that's the Ran on the Rif on the end of the first page in Kedushin explains it. Means when you have a Machlokes, even if it's not 50-50, it's 95% Lahachma, 5% Lahakel, that's called the Sofik Kaldim. It's a slight Sofik. A real Sofik would be if it would be close to 50-50. There's nowhere close to 50-50. 95-5. So still, that's considered a Sofik Kaldim, and we have a Pasuk that teaches us. A man fishes around to find the pasuk. You have a marker on the pasuk that teaches us that any sofik kolduhu and avelus, you go to kula. Not only a sofik in mitzias, I'm not sure if that man is my brother, because my mother remarried and she had a whatever, so shayla, is it my brother or not? Even if it's a sofik in din, you still say, elu v'elu dimi l'kimchaim, the minority opinion that was outvoted is not that we assume that he's wrong. We don't pass him like the minority opinion. But still, it's what to consider to declare the case as one of the Sofik Kaldim. Then we have the Achrayim point out you find in Mishnayis. I remember one professor was developing a whole thing about what is the Hashkafa of modern orthodoxy. A whole lecture series. So he gave a whole presentation that there are 8 points that represent modern orthodoxy. So one of the points was the Mishnah Brura invented an expression, Mishnah Brura Chafetz Chaim invented a phrase, HaMachmer Tova Ola Bracha. This was invented by the Mishnah Brura. So one of the students raised his hand and he said, there's a Tosfos in Shabbos and Perikira, that's such and such. The kid got up in the middle of the lecture. He said, Tosfos had the expression, HaMachmer Tova Ola Bracha. It appears in Shulchan Aruch many times. Before the Mishnah Brura, several centuries before the Mishnah Brura, Mishnah Brura didn't invent. But we know what the professor meant. So the modern Orthodox don't go for this. Modern Orthodox don't go for this style of Amach Metolabroch. This was what this professor was developing, I think. So you have a Mishnayis, this attitude. Tanaim, you have Mishnayis in Beitza, another place. And Tana says, I know that the din is like this, but I'm Machma like the minority opinion. What do you gain by being Machma but like the minority opinion? If we pass an Acharam Lahatas, what are you gaining by being Machma? So the answer is because Eilu Yehuda Divili Kimcha, the minority opinion, we don't assume that he's dead wrong. Eilu Yehuda, they're both right. Each one has a different perspective. In his perspective, it's correct. The halacha was supposed to pass them like the rabbi. But as an act of Midas Hasidus, this is considered Sofik Deraisa Luchum. Real Sofik Deraisa Luchum, if it's close to 50-50, that's a Sofik Deraisa Luchum, a Sofik HaShofel, 50-50. And even if it's 95-5, it's called the Sofik Kolduhu. And as an act of Midas Hasidus, it's considered Sofik Deraisa Luchum to be Choshish for the Shita Sayachim, even though we don't pass them like that Shita Sayachim. Then you have also in the Gemara, in a few different Sifters, and Brachas, and Shabbos, and Masechas Nida. You have sometimes the Gemara has a situation, there's a Machlokes HaTanai. The Gemara says it's only by Dinim Derabbanan. You have a Din Derabbanan, and there's a Machlokes HaTanai. And Roi Batanayim say Lahachmer, 95% of the Tanayim say Lahachmer. And there's one, 5% of the Tanayim say Lahachmer. And we're really supposed to pass in Lahachmer. You should close to follow the right. But it's a big shas hatak, a hefsa meruga. So the Gemara has an expression, kedai harab shimen lis mechola b'shas hatak. Kedai harab gamliel lis mechola b'shas hatak. If you're talking about a din de rabbanan, but the din is fake of the rabbanan lekula, so fake of the rabbanan is if it's 50-50, it's 95-5, that's not a fake of the rabbanan. So the Gemara says, but sometimes if it's a big shas hatak, then we have the right to declare even a Sufik Kolduhu as a Sufik Derabbanu Lekul. That's a simple pshat in the Gemara. In Yerudeya, there's a Machlokes B'Shach and Etas. Some Poskim want to apply Kedai HaRapalon and Ismachol B'Shach Santak even to a case where the Shaila is a Dion on a Din Deraisa. So that's problematic. What does it help that 95% and 5% that it's called a Sufik Kolduhu? So what? But Sufik Deraisa L'Chumra. There should be Yishgo Basa Roy Vacharab Lahatas, and even if you consider this fact that it's a Sufik Kaldu, a Sufik Deraisa is Lachumer. So that's problematic. Why there's such an opinion? But the Pashup Shad, all the Gemaras happen to be talking about Dinim Rabbanan, and Brachas, and the Shabbos is talking about Muktzah, Brachas is talking about the Gzeira, not to recite Kriyashma after Chatzos Alayla, and the Nid is talking about a Dinim Rabbanan, not Tumas Meis Leis. So when you're dealing with a Dinim Rabbanan, even though we should follow the 95% of the rabbi, but since there is the shitas ha'ichidim, the 5% who disagree, so we say that accomplished that you have in front of you a Sufik Kaldu, and the shas ha'tchak, you can even stretch and to apply Sufik Derabbanu Lekula even to a Sufik Kaldu. We have a fifth case where this is relevant, those who ever learned Sanhedrin. So Gemara has an unbelievable din, a Masecha Sanhedrin. There was a din Torah between Reuven and Shimon, and the Bezdin gave up stock, and then they realized they made a mistake. We awarded the money to Reuven, and he's not really entitled to the money. So it's Gezel, so tell him to give back the money. So we say, no. Since there's a Shaila and din, so it depends how bad an error did they make. The Gemara says, if it's told B'dvar Mishnah, they made an outright mistake. There is no Shita who holds like that. Tov B'dvar Mishnah is Chayzer. Or if there was a Machloikis, there was a machloket sachachamim, and it was on the laminion. There was a machloket b'shamim b'silvah, or Machlokes HaTanaim, and they argued it out and they voted on it, Amdu L'minyan. And the Beis Din made a mistake, they passed it like the minority opinion that was out there. So wrong is wrong, so you have to reverse the Pesach. But what if the mistake of the Beis Din, what if the error was a Tor B'Shikol Hadas? What's the definition of Tor B'Shikol Hadas? And the Gemara says, Gava Machlokes HaTanaim, or Machlokes HaMaroyim. The majority hold one way, the minority disagree, and was never Amdu L'minyan. It was never voted upon. But the majority hold like this. The Sugya D'Alma, the generally accepted stock, is you go with the majority. And the Beis Din made a mistake, and they paskin the first time around. They paskin like the minority. So the Gemara says that Balbin, who won the first time, is now Muchzik. He's holding the money in his bank account, in his mattress. Wherever he keeps his money, his pocket. So the Balbin who won the Dintar the first time around has the money. You can say Kimli Kishita Sayochid. Since Amuchza Amoitza Mahavera Olaf Araya, you can't be Moitzi Mammon based on a Raiv. So here also you have no right to force him to give back the money to the other Balbin. He has the right to say, I want to stick to the first Psak. The first Psak was not an absolute error. If the first Psak would be out and out a mistake, Torbid by Mishnah. So a mistake is a mistake. You have the best, it has to be Machzor the Psak. But if the first Psak was only taught in Shikol Hadas, the majority of the Poskim go like that, but there is a minority who go the reverse. So we say, Eilu Eilu, give me the Kim Chayim, to the extent that the Muchzor who won it in third the first time around can say, I want to keep holding on to the money. I hold like the Miut, Kimli Kishita Samiut. There are limitations. How far do you go? When do you apply Elu Yelu? So the Poskim have a cloud. Let's say you have 100 Tanoim. 99 Tanoim say one way, and one Tana stands out by himself. But that's a Shita if you don't. So that doesn't matter. You got to have 95% and 5%. If you have just a Shita if you don't, that doesn't count. And then in Shulchan Aruch you have the Beis Shmuel and Ebed Ezra has the following Shaila. What if you have 98% of the Rishonim say one way, and the Rambam and the Rima Gash say Fakir? So the Beis Shmuel quotes from the Tshuvas of the Achronim, that counts as one Shita, because the Rambam was so kofuf to the Rima Gash, the Rambam's father, Rabbeinu Maimon, was a Talmud of the Rima Gash. And he once, as a little child, the Rima Gash met the Rambam and gave him a bracha. He should be matzliach and learning. And the Rambam says about the Rima Gash, Sichlo Mavis Tuchol HaTamud. He was awesome, literally, Mavis. He was awesome. He was such a genius. He was awesome. So the Rambam usually is so kofuf to the Rima. Every so often the Rambam disagrees with this super genius, with the Rima Gash. But most of the time the Rambam is so kofuf to the Rima Gash, so that Bishmol writes in Ebenezer, you can't even consider this two independent opinions. It's the Rima Gash and the Rima Gash. The Rambam just said over what the Rima Gash said. So that only counts as one sheep in the door. So then you don't apply all the rules of Eilu Yehu Divinu Kimah. When we studied the Rima Gash sheep, it's Talmud Torah, but we wouldn't say halacha lemaisa that it's kedai to be machmeh for his sheep, and mishas hatchak you can rely on it, and so on and so forth. We just ignore it. Or a lot of times you have a machlekes that's a machlekes in itzias. Usually we avoid that. Usually the Ramban writes it doesn't make sense that the Chachamim and the Gemara should argue on a machlokes in mitzvahs. Why did they experiment? Why did they ascertain what the facts are? The Greeks didn't believe in experimentation. They felt that that's for slaves. Manual labor, menial labor, to do work with your hands, to make an experiment, to find out what the facts are. That's beneath the dignity of the free man. Free men have to philosophize. How come fire goes up? How come water goes down? How come the fire doesn't put out the water? How come the water puts out the fire? Everything went through philosophy. And the Jewish people never helped from that baloney with the philosophy. Tanaim were always trying to ascertain what the facts are. Rav Soloveitchik used to use his own expression. The Gemara says in Brachas, in the beginning of Brachas, David HaMelech says, look at the difference between me and the other king. The other kings sit on the throne, and everything is neat and clean in their royal outfits, and David HaMelech is paskin and shailus and hilchos nida. And he holds in his hands a mara, and he has to paskin whether the mara is a maratome, maratoh. A woman loses a baby, and he has to look at the fetus to see. He's holding in his hands the dead child to see whether it has its source of love, does not have its source of love, doesn't philosophize. He goes down to the nitty gritty of Metzias. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say. not like the Greek philosophers. We believe in Dam Shvir V'Shulya. Yad HaMalachoch is the Dam Shvir V'Shulya. That's what the Ramban has in a few cases, in a few places. The Ramban has this famous comment. It doesn't make sense that there should be a machlokes and metzias. The Talmud should ascertain what the facts are. You're not supposed to argue about metzias, but every so often, there is a machlokes and metzias. We often have a machlokes amaroyim, we have a machlokes abay v'rove. What did Rav Meir mean in the Mishnah? So Rav Meir only meant one or the other. You can't say elu v'elu. Rav Meir didn't talk out of both sides of his mouth at the same time. So one is right and one is wrong. And you have a machlokes, Aliba ben Avshai, Rav Meir, if you disagree, what did the Rabbanu Shlom mean when he gave the din in the Torah? So that's what the Rabbanu Shlom said in Har Sinai. There are a lot of areas in Halacha that are gray areas, and I leave it up to the Hachroah, the Chachmei HaTorah Shebechol Dorador, based on their perception of Kol HaTorah Kulo. Different people have different point, different perspectives. Different perspectives, each one looking from a different perspective. Each one is right. But if you have a machloikis, not aliba den avshar, you have a machloikis, aliba dechad ban d'omar. Abai v'rova argue, what's the girsa in the Mishnah? Abai v'rova argue, what did Ben Meir mean? So one is right and one is wrong. The Mishnah is not supposed to have two girsas. So whatever it's a machloikis and metzias, then you can't say eli ele divin the kimchai. The Gemara in the first parak in Gittin talks about the pre-legish v'gibo story. It's a v'shoftim. So the Gemara says that the husband got very upset at his wife and he kicked her out of the house and he killed her. So what did he get so upset about his wife for? So the Gemara has a machlokes and metzias. What did he get so upset about his wife for? So the Gemara says they met Eliyahu HaNavi and they asked Eliyahu HaNavi, what is the Rabbanu Shlom learning these days? So Rabbanu Shlom is learning Pelegis B'Givim. And what does the Rabbanu Shlom say about the, what happened? Rabbanu Shlom says, Hey, Eliyahu Divin Kimchai. So how can he say Eilu Yelu to Machlokes and Metzias? So the answer is, it's not a steerer. Both things happen. The Machlokes Amorim was, which of the two things that happened is what triggered the husband's anger at his wife? Why did he get so angry at his wife? But it could be that both happened. Sometimes something that seems to be a Machlokes and Metzias, and not necessarily a Machlokes either this or this, it could be that both things happen. But if you have an outright Machlokes and Metzias, it can't be that they're both right. I had a professor of history in the college. He used to mix up who won the war. And at the 5 o'clock session, he said that they won the war. 6 o'clock chaos, he said the other side won the war. That's, you don't say able to be able. Either they won the war, or they won the war. There's no room for interpretation over there. So that's what Rashi intends. It's right on the Gemara and the Gemara and Sukkos like that. Eilu v'yelu only applies when you have a machlokes aliba dan avshayim. If you have a machlokes aliba dechad ban d'omar, so it does make sense to say eilu v'yelu. So whenever it's a machlokes and metzias, all of this will fall on. Once we decide who's right and who's wrong, what is wrong is wrong, and there's no mitzvah of Talmud Torah to study something that's absolutely wrong, and you won't say that the Shas HaTakik, we rely on the Shita, and you can't say halacha de ba'amek of ba'ovel, you can't say halacha de ba'amek of ba'erevin, can't say kol amek avatz alach gemaster b'chutz lords by orlo. All of these demons fall away. It's very interesting. The Gemara has an agadita. The Gemara comments on the pasuk v'yamam b'yam ha'hu hinele kein ezek kivina lo v'yoshiyeng ezek Hashem kivina lo negila minis b'chad b'shuvasa. So the Gemara understands that the word zeh always means something that you can mimar be'etzba. And Moshe Rabbeinu said zeh lachem atamei. He's telling when they say which are the non-kosher animals. The Gemara says he picked up the animal and he showed him this is an non-kosher azelachem atami. Or when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu about the mitzvah machzah shekel zeh yitnum kol ha'ayim rav kudim, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu at be'er shalesh. He showed him what it is. Zeh yitnum, zeh means something you can see. Or HaKadosh azelachem. So Rashi HaChumash quotes HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu on levana b'chidush and he said kazeh rebe kadesh. When you see the levana like this size, then you can declare that it's for shkodesh. Where else does it say Zeh? By the menorah. Zeh ma'aseh ha-menorah. So the Gemara says, Zeh means HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu a menorah shalesh. And he said, I want you to make me a menorah that looks exactly like this. So that's why the Gemara says that this Kasha Moshe, it was very difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu to make the menorah. Why was it so difficult that Hashmonaim succeeded in making a menorah? Why was it so difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu? So the answer is because Moshe Rabbeinu had a Harua Shor. He has to make the menorah exactly kamarei asher haresa behar. Has to look exactly the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed. The Doris, there is no such thing. The Doris, you make a menorah of kaftorim, and vim, and prochem, and shayim, and partik. It does not have to look exactly the way it looked on Har Sinai. But that was a din b'shah, Hirah Shah, that the menorah, the Mishkan, has to look exactly kamara. And that's how the Gemara has a tradition. Whenever the word zeh appears on Tanakh, means something that you can mara the etzma, visual aid, you can see what it is. Here the pasuk says, be'amah be'amahu, v'hineh elokeinu zeh. Zeh Hashem kivin olam. What do you mean zeh? So the Gemara says, Osar HaKadosh Baruch Hu lasis mokol ha-tzadikim lasis lor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make a dance with the tzadikim, Baruch Hashem is going to be the emtza, tzadikim are going to dance around in a circle, and they'll all point in the middle, there'll be some kind of gilui shechina, they'll be able to see something representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they'll point mara be'etzma, and they'll say, Zeh Hashem kivin olam, nagil ha-minis mokol yishu asam. And then when I was a little boy, my father was always a rabbi. So on Simchas Torah, so they always mechabed the rabbi with the first post they got the Harei Zerodat. They mechabed the president of the shul, and the gaboyim, and the people that donate a lot of money. And then the kohen always gets kohenecha yil v'shetzedek. Then they always give the next post to a lady, Barbara David Abdecha. I remember they once gave Rabbi Soloveitchik the first post they got out the Harei Zerodat. And then he came to Baruch David Abdech, the Pesach gift to Kwanech, Yehud Bishit Tzedek. So there was no other lady in the shul. And in this moment, he said, he gave it to Rabbi Soloveitchik. So he said, David HaMelech was not a lady. No meaning, you don't have to give Baruch David Abdech to a lady. You give it to someone else. I already got a Pesach. You don't have to give me the Pesach. David was not a lady. So remember, I was the rabbi's son, so they had to give me a Pesach. But the real good psukim they gave to the Balabatim, who gave a lot of money, they always stuck me with the same Pesach. It's so long, the niggin, it doesn't fit into the niggin. I'm always so angry. The other psukim are so much better. I'm always angry. Why did they stick me again with that pasuk? Till Rabbi Soloveitchik said in Shia, that pasuk is the basis of the whole Hakkofes on Simchas Torah. He said in the Vilna Goyim's Kloyes, the Vilna Goyim had a minute, he would rope off the bima on Simchas Torah. Because when we're dancing around the bima, we assume the Shechina is in the middle. We act as if the Shechina is in the middle. So it's not their heritage that people should stand by the Shechina. We're dancing around Al Shem, this Mochel. Asar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this Mochel, Al Tzadikim, Al Zilav. We're going to dance in the circuit. We dance, and the Shechina is going to be in the middle of the able of points. And then I felt I always got the best possible. That was the basis of the whole Hakotis on Simchas Torah. So they quote the comment that's attributed to Rabbi Kivega and to the Chafetz Chaim and to many other Gdolim in between Rabbi Kivega and the Chafetz Chaim. Rabbi Kivega was a Misnagdi and had a grandson who was a Hasidish Rebbe, Rabbi Leibel Eger, had a son-in-law, Shmuel Birnbaum, who was a Chassid. They had their friction. The Mesivis was also, Mesivis was a good friend of Rebbe, Mesivis was also a Misnagdi, he was also blessed by the son-in-law who was a Chassid, and they had their friction. So Rabbi Kivega, it's attributed to him and to Chafetz Chaim, many other Gdolim. He said, when you have a circular dance and the Shechina is in the middle, every point on the circle is equidistant to the center. Every radius is equal in distance to the other radius. So he said, the Misnagdim stand on one side of the circle. We have one perspective. From our perspective, see this is wrong. See them stand on the other side of the circle, just looking at the same thing, they have a different perspective. Everyone is equidistant to the Kodesh Lom. And in Seyla V'yeh Adim Elikim Chayim, he cracks dois, he kvetch dois, even though he doesn't hold from the Hasidim, but he said, they have a little thing. He felt that Eyla V'yeh, both groups are close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the same extent. Each one has a different derech and avodas Hashem. But that's the idea of Eyla V'yeh. People looking at the same body of information, the same list of Taryag Mitzvahs, each one looks from a different perspective. So in the middle, everything looks a little differently. And they're all acceptable. So this is the idea, this is what the Beis Yitzchak writes in his Tshuva Sefer, that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam made a Nes Chanukah, even though Halacha L'maisa in the later generations is going to be accepted L'halacha, that the Mashkin, Beimat V'chaya, the Shemen and the Beis HaMikdash, is just not Mekabel Tumah. If you have Shemen outside of the Beis HaMikdash, and it's Mekabel Tumah, they're going to have a lot of use it for the Menorah. But if you have Shemin in the Beis HaMikdash, it's just not the Kabbalah Tumah. Mashkin in the Beis HaMikdash is not the Kabbalah Tumah. So there was no such thing as Timur Kala Shmanu. It doesn't exist. But in that generation, the Pesach HaMikubal was not so. Even though in the later generation, when Yosef Ben Yezid is going to come around, that's how we're going to Paskin. Shemin in the Beis HaMikdash is not the Kabbalah Tumah. But the Rebbeinu Shel Olam made a miracle, because at that time, the Pesach HaMikubal was that Shem in the Beis HaMikdash is Mekabel Torah. So that's one of the important lessons that we should learn. We should learn from Chanukah. There is a big dispute. I'll just mention it. It's a little late. There is a medrash that appears in quite a few sources. Rav Chaim Volozhiner quotes all these sources in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, that kol ma she'asa talmid vasik l'chadish nemar lo l'moshe m'sinai. Any good Dvar Torah that a big Talmid Chacham is going to come up with in the later generations, everything was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the question is, if every single Siv Kotlin in the Mishnah Berurah, in the Shaar Tzin, every Bir Halacha, everything was told to Moshe Rabbeinu HaSinai, so how is there any room for any machloikas? Did Baruch Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu all the deal? So there's a machloikas, how to understand what machloikas is all about. So the Goyim are of the opinion, every machloikas means that they simply forgot. They forgot what the tradition was. There was a tradition that every single din, and they forgot. So the Rambam quotes the opinion of the Goyim in his Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnayos. The Rambam says it's an embarrassment to adopt such a position. It means the Jews forgot 98%, the most precious thing that we have is the Torah. They forgot 98% of the Torah, and every page in Shas is a machloikas. He thought from the beginning of the Tiyat, Machloikas Tanaim, Machloikas Amarayim, Machloikas Rishayim, Machloikas Achrayim, everything is Machloikas. I used to have a Talmud in my Shir, his nephew I think is learning here this year. So I always used to ask, what's the din in this case? He would always say, it's a Machloikas. He was always the right answer. And then he said, Machloikas, who? Tanaim, he always knew the right answer. Tanaim, Amarayim, Rishayim, Achrayim, he always knew the right answer. I can do. But if you ever ask what's the din, you say machlekes, you know for sure that you're right. Everything, come out, everything is a machlekes. So the question is, where's the source of all the machlekes? So according to the Goyim, every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. And whoever, every machlekes is based on forgetfulness. He simply forgot 98% of the Torah. And it's hard to understand, where's the room to say Elohi 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 Kimcha? The one who's right is right, the one who's wrong is absolutely dead wrong. Every single din was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. And how did the Goyim understand the concept of Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes then? So they explain, the Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes then is just to check that you didn't make a mistake in the Masorah. You don't need Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes then. All the din were enamored on the Moshe Nisina. The Midrash, you give a Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes then, is just a way to make sure that you haven't distorted your Masorah. And the Rambam's opinion is the more popular view. Rambam says, Chas to Chalila, how can you say that? Whatever they had by Masorah, let's say Halacha Moshe Misina. Whatever is Halacha Moshe Misina, there's no room for Machloikas. What do you mean? They forgot. Once in a while, the Rambam also knows. Once in a long while, you have a Machloikas and a Halacha Moshe Misina. It means that they forgot something. But the Rambam said, that's an embarrassment. That really happened. It's going to be a machloikas on a halacha Moshe Misina. Means that they forgot something. Rambam says the bulk of the machloikas are because there was no masorah explicitly on this day. They had the midrash HaTorah Nidreshes then, and based on the midrash, the Bezdin Shebechol Dovador has the right to develop the halacha the way they see fit. And the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchas Mamrim, the Bezdin Avadol Shebushalayim, they have the tradition of the Torah Shebal Peh, and every generation have the right to darshan with the midrash HaTorah Nidreshes then the way they want. They don't have to follow precedent. The Gemara says in the beginning of the Bai Sheni, the Beis HaMikdash is only Chorah for 7 years. Beginning of the Bai Sheni period, they decided to do Nisach HaYayin differently. They knew for 410 years in the Bai Rishon how they did Nisach HaYayin. The Bai Sheni, they decided they're going to disagree with Shlomo HaMelech. I bet for 410 years they did like that. So this Pasem is asked, because I'm Zohar. Me to say that for 410 years they were never Yotze Nisach HaYayin. How can it be? So the answer is no. Elav yeder din v'kim chayim. In the days of Shlomo HaMelech and the Bais Rishon, they darshan the psukim one way. Days of the Bais Sheni, they had the right to darshan the psukim differently. During their generation, they're supposed to follow their rabbanim. During the later generation, they're supposed to follow their rabbanim. Just because an earlier bezdin who was greater in learning than me said one way doesn't mean that I'm not entitled to an opinion. You only need a bezdin gadol b'chokhmah and dominion if you want to repeal a rabbinic enactment. If you darshan the psukim in the chumash, all the rishonim quote from the Talmud Yerushalmi, you don't need a bezdin gadol b'chokhmah and dominion. Just need a bezdin that should be qualified. But that's the generally accepted, that's the popular opinion, is the way the Rambam said. Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes, give the chachamim and every generation the right They come up with new dinim. You don't need a masara in every single book. Whatever they had a masara. Had a masara, that's halacha Moshe Nissim. Whatever they had a masara, 99% of the time they didn't forget. It's rare, it's very rare. You're going to have a machlokes regarding halacha Moshe Nissim. Machlokes then were always on those issues, but there was no masara. And they wanted darshan the psukim. And in fact, there's a machlokes, the Chidor has many, many stories. So the Chidor writes in one of his stories, they say he died at the age of 83, and they claim the Agoda goes that he wrote 83 svar. They have over 75 svar. I don't think they have till 83, but they have. And each sefer is a whole sefer, and that's not a little joke. Each sefer is a whole encyclopedia of this and encyclopedia of that. He was one of the first to write encyclopedias of Halacha and Agoda, the Midrash HaTorah Midrash, is now all kinds of encyclopedias. So he has a sefer, a commentary on Megillas Rus, that's called Simchas HaRegel. So in the sefer on Megillas Rus, he quotes a machloikas achroinim. If the Bezdin is Mechadish Adin, the Araisa, based on Minish Atar and Reshes to him, does that Din the Araisa only apply to Kamal Haba? Because they were just Mechadish it today? But he say no, it's a Gloy Muslim affair. This was always the Din from the days of Maimon Hasina. So he quotes a group of Achrayim, Mechadish seems to hold like this. The Din the Araisa is only Noy Mechadish Haba. There was no Masor on it. They darshan with the Minish Atar and Reshes to him. So we're clearly assuming like the Rambam, that the Bezdin, you don't have to have a tradition on every single bit. You have to have a tradition on the Midrash HaTorah Midrash HaSpem. Once you have the Midrash, you can use the Midrash to develop a new din. And many Poskim hold the whole new din, just like a din de Rabbanan is only not even a Kabbalah. So even Dinim Deraisa, that the Bezdin Darshan is based on the Yud Gimel Midrash, it's only a Kabbalah. So the story of Hanukkah, is involved in a machloikis ha-palam, how to read the pasuk. Chomashka shishasa b'chol tuli, yitmo. Imam Sokh, at the end of the first parakas. How do you translate the word yitmo? Yitmo means it's makabal tuma. Yitmo means it's matami acherim, not just it is makabal tuma. But yitmo means it's maksha makabal tuma. But mashkim are not makabal any tuma. So that's the whole shayla. Mashke bein mat b'chai, the mashkim in the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara says we revert back to the din deraisa. We don't want to introduce din derabbanan. So if you hold that yitma means it's just machshel kabel tuma, it's not a kabel tuma at all. Tuma's machshel is only derabbanan. So then in the Beis Hamikdash it's not tamei at all. So they were dealing with a machlokes on a level of deraisa. And the Gemara and the Beis Yitzchak says elu liyeda divin timcha. The Rabbanan Shlom made a miracle because in that generation they held like that. That's like we said the Terence on the Sfasemus is kasha. For 410 years during the Tkuvah's Bais Rishon, they held one way, out of the Nisach HaYayin. Then came Bais Sheni, they knew the way they did Nisach HaYayin. There were people who were alive, 80 years old, they remembered. There were many people alive. The Pesukim say, the Chagas, Tari, and Ezra. There were many people who are 80 years old. They remembered everything from the Bais Rishon. They said Beferish. And nonetheless, they said, we're not going to follow the precedent. We think you should read the Pesukim differently, to do the Nisach HaYayin differently. So that's the concept of Eilu Yeilu Dimele Kimcha. I remember when I was a teenager, I think I was in high school, when they had the Eichmann trial on TV. I used to come home every day and watch the television to see the Eichmann trial. So I remember Gideon Hausner was the lawyer for the Israeli government. He was the prosecutor to give the death penalty to Eichmann. So he was quoting from a decision of a judge in Idaho. He never heard of the judge. He never heard of Idaho. He didn't know how to pronounce Idaho. So he said, he's speaking in Hebrew on the television, you can hear. So he says, the judge in Idaho said like this. So the Israeli judge says, Tagid Idaho. It's Malaya. It's not Malaya. So in the secular courts, precedent is so important. You have to quote a psak from a judge. Oh yes, we couldn't care less. I don't care which judge says, even if all the judges said, I hope not so. I passed in the way I think. You know, I'm a chief to pass in the way. Even if you know the earlier Bezim was greater b'chachmim minyan than you. If you're entitled to an opinion, a lot of times you're not entitled to an opinion. But if you're entitled, if chachm shigir l'ayor has a right to express his opinion, disagreeing with many. And Moshe Feinstein and his children very often disagrees with the Vilna Gaon, with the Sam Sofer, with the Rebbe Yehuda, and with the Mishnah Brura. So there was a nasty Hungarian rabbi who wrote a whole sefer attacking Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. This man is so arrogant. Who does he think he is? He disagrees with the Rebbe Yehuda, with the Sam Sofer, with everybody. Anyone who knew Rabbi Moshe Feinstein knew he was extremely humble. He was not arrogant at all. He was a little too humble. He was very humble. So Rav Moshe was so hurt when he saw that book. He said, I don't think I'm bigger than Chassam Sofer, but that's the halacha. He said, maybe I'm not entitled to an opinion, but what can I do? People keep on insisting. They want to hear my opinion. So if I'm entitled to an opinion, I'm obliged to give my honest to goodness opinion, even if it's a disagreement between the Nebu and the Chassam Sofer, and it's only going all put together. But Tamar Chacham was a Gir Lahira. Has to press his opinion. He said, maybe I'm Bahi Gir Lahira. What can I do? People keep on pressuring me. They insist. They want my opinion. There's a lot to come to the realization. The nest of the Pach HaShemen, the Rebbe Shlom made a nest because of Eilu Yehu. And Eilu Yehu means Yadarshim Sukkim, this freedom to Darshim Sukkim. The way you think it, it's a person with a Chacham Shigil Ahiro, yes, the Darshan Psukim, the way he thinks the Pshat is not because for so many generations they said like that. If he holds it's wrong, you gotta say it's wrong. A lot to discuss. Okay, maybe we'll open the floor for discussion.